This week, newsman, a baby monitor nightmare story.
Baby monitors, baby toys, they're essentials for new parents, or you think they are anyway, and you go nuts and you just buy plenty of stuff. Generally, they're pretty good quality, but this one had a little twist to it.
I'm all for baby monitors. Big fan. We have one. I've had a lot of experience with this in the last couple of years. It's one of those things where old school parents will feel like, baby monitors? You know, we didn't need those when we were raising our kids. Why do you need that?
Is yours a audio one or video as well?
Audio, visual. It's even got the room temperature, which is almost the most handy part of it.
Oh.
But yeah, sure. I mean, everyone was raised without one of these, but it's just a handy little, you know, this is 2017, everyone. If it's available, why not use it? That's what I say.
And what man doesn't want to have, like ours, actually, we haven't really used it at this stage, but I think it's got a bit of a remote, so you can swivel the
phone. Oh, ours doesn't have that.
So every man's just trying to oust each other with their technology for their babies. Mine's got infrared.
Yours sounds like CCTV.
Oh, and we can do a bit of intercom action. Can you do that?
Oh, yeah, never figured that out, but
sorry,
I could do it.
I've taken us down the bragging dad path.
Anyway, it goes into, the lights go off in the youngster's bedroom.
Yep.
And it goes into like a night kind of vision mode.
Okay, that sounds good.
This dad has fallen foul because the parents of this young toddler have put on a quilt cover with stars all over it.
Yes.
Comes from Kmart.
Okay.
It's really nice quilt cover. It's sort of like a, you know, stars, you know.
Yeah.
You know, little one, you reach for the stars. The sky's the limit. You know, you can achieve whatever you want.
It's a fairly common picture, isn't it, in a baby scene, because it's a soothing nighttime, the big smiling moons, stars.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
What could possibly go wrong?
Lights go out. In the night mode of the baby monitor, it suddenly looks like the quilt cover is crawling with enormous spiders. and there's a couple of photos, and it does look like spiders. The stars all of a sudden look very spider-like. There's a picture. Ooh.
Sorry, I'm just having a squiz. Yes, absolutely.
They look like huntsmen's, don't they?
They do.
It's not like Daddy Longlegs or something, you know, you wouldn't worry about a huntsman. It looks like huntsmen's all over the thing. Facebook post from the mum or the wife or the partner of the dad who got caught out on this one. She's taken to Facebook and written, "Tonight my husband put our daughter to bed, turned on the monitor, went to sit down. Out of nowhere, he jumped up with a panicked look on his face and raced to her room. She didn't know what was going on. She asked him, 'What the hell?' And he said, 'The pattern on her blanket. I thought it was big black spiders all in her cot.' Totally something I can imagine doing."
Yes. Yep.
I would see that. I would be racing in there.
I'd probably be shrieking, standing on top of a chair and getting my partner to go in. But I would I empathize.
Spiders and kids. It's a vexed question for me, because I feel like I don't love killing spiders.
Mm-hmm.
Something in me thinks, nah, you know, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
I don't like doing it. But on the other hand, I have this compulsion to have to get rid of them.
Yes.
If I see one, it's got to go. I can't just have it knowing it's crawling around our house or in our room or in our son's room. And it's kind of tricky to get them out of the house alive.
Yeah.
Easier to just take them out.
What's your technique?
Well, I walked out this, and even worse, I've got this story. It was outside. So, I mean, not even in the house. So I felt really bad about this one. Walked outside with my son, and I think I gasped. I spotted a pretty giant size huntsman on a little piece of play equipment he's got outside. And I'm like, ugh. All right, okay, everyone stay calm, but there's a spider. And my technique, inside and outside, is the rolled-up magazine.
And you?
Rolled-up newspaper, whatever's handy, I just roll it up and swat it.
Right, so while you feel bad about this, you do kill them.
I have to take them out. I'm not evolved enough yet to be able to just, you know, let that slide. So roll up the newspaper, and meanwhile, Isaac's seen that the spider's there. He's he's sort of like taking his cues from me, like, is this a problem or not? And I'm kind of saying cool, and I don't really want him seeing me taking the life of another living creature, just because I'm weird about that. Anyway, I've got the newspaper, I swat it, and like absolutely destroyed the thing, and it just like it bounced up off the equipment and like landed on the lawn. And it all happened pretty quick, and he says to me, where did the spider go? Did it fly away, Daddy? And I just said, yeah, sort of.
Oh,
it flew away to heaven.
It did. Spider heaven, where flies are in abundance. 50 fresh flies for every...
for every spider. Yeah, that's right.
I'm the same. I was just talking about this with my mother yesterday, because... having new kids and memories of me being a kid, I was petrified of spiders. Used to go stiff as a board if they were just even in the room. I've got to the point now, though, that yes, with the protection of a rolled up stiff magazine, I can deal with them with one foul swat.
Yeah.
My partner often thinks, though, yeah, let's spare their lives. But that involves a plastic container over the top, sheets sliding underneath.
Yeah.
But just fraught with danger if you're a little bit nervous, because somehow they know how to get around that.
Yeah, you fiddle around and they're going to escape. And then you've got an angry spider on your hands who's out for vengeance.
That's right. The funny thing with spiders, are there that many reports of you're lying in bed, but there's a spider in the room, there's a baby in the room, that a spider will go down and actually bite something that isn't what they want to eat? Or
I don't know the science on this. There's the, you know, urban legend about the number of spiders you swallow in your lifetime. Apparently that's a complete myth,
right?
But you know, a little bit of me still wonders, maybe. I don't know. And it only takes one bad bite.
Yeah,
you know, it can be, you know, it's probably, unless it's a redback, it's not gonna be fatal, but it can mess you up.
So Web Guy, what's the moral of the story with this? Let's get back to where we started, and is there anything to come from this? Don't buy quilts that might alarm you at night, or
just be aware if you've got the star quilt, just be prepared when the night monitor goes into night mode, it's going to look weird.
Spiders
look scary, but have you ever seen like a microscopic, you know, zoomed in shot of like a spider face up close?
Lots of eyes? No,
just effing horrendous. Like, you think a normal spider looks scary. Look at it at 100 times zoom. They look just evil.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. I've got my phobia under control, but that would just send it over the top. Web Guy, I can't wait for summer. My favourite part of the year, the nights are long. I get to enjoy a bit of the sunshine after work, a bit of beach time, watch the cricket. It's pretty hot, though, and I feel like there's a lot of people saying it's getting hotter each and every year. Are you a big climate change sort of man?
Yeah, I think bring on summer, bring on the heat. We want the long summer days and the hot summer nights. Bring it on, bring it on. And then at a certain point, whoop, nope, too hot. and that's where we're heading. To be honest, climate change, we haven't spoke about it. We don't really get stuck into the tough issues of the day. It's, you know, probably complicated, but anyway, my headline on it, my thought, my 2 cents is, look, you know, it looks like probably the climate is changing because of stuff that, you know, man-made stuff. You know, some people say it's not, and I'm not an actual scientist. I just have to go on the consensus, which sort of is that, you know, we are screwing it up a little bit. But even if we're not, I'm kind of a, you know, let's give the environment the benefit of the doubt. Even if we are not 100% that, you know, what we're doing is messing it up, why not just take better care of everything and minimise the pollution that we're putting out there, blah, blah, blah.
Surely it does change the environment. Before we became industrial and we had all this pollution, obviously the earth and the environment just sort of flowed on automatically. So we're adding a whole lot to it. So I assume it has some sort of impact. To me, it's hard to tell whether the weather itself is really changing, or we just get wrapped up with each and every weather event each year and go, oh, that's out of the box, when in reality, if you look at the long-term stats, I'm still not 100%. But I don't go back and look at it, and it doesn't keep me awake at night. I'm happy to take each weather event as is.
Is the weather getting crazier, or are we just absorbing more news about it? Who knows?
Yeah, that's the other thing. To 30, 40 years ago, some of these horrific weather events would have been just a couple of lines in the paper. Now we're seeing it firsthand and live.
Yeah, for days on end. 30, 40 years ago, you know what they say in the middle of a heat wave? Like, just gets one, you know, just a passing mention. Just toughen up. You know, that's all they said back then. But it feels like it's getting serious. I see a story this week that Sydney and Melbourne specifically, I don't know if I assume that this or something similar will apply to Adelaide, but, you know, Sydney and Melbourne specifically, this is what they're getting told this week. Hey, get ready for 50 degree days by the end of the century. That feels like a serious situation. 50 degree days in a massive city. You know, remote country areas have been, you know, might crack the 50 on a very rare occasion. But get ready for it. This ANU study, Dr. Sophie Lewis, projects daily temperatures 3.8 degrees Celsius above existing records for those two cities. It could get even hotter on extreme days. So it's feeling real. It's feeling serious.
It's how would life change if the temperature regularly reached that temperature? Go ahead.
No. Dr. Lewis actually mentioned that, because you think, well, 50 degree day is bad enough, but then she says you've got a large population, large groups commuting to and from the CBD on extremely hot days. How do you manage that? Also, we're sending young kids to school on 50 degree days. I wish I could talk.
It's hot in here. It's 50. That's what happens.
How our hospitals are prepared for a large number of admissions of young or old, let alone like keeping a hospital, you know, the correct temperature on a day like that. How can your infrastructure cope with it? Apparently cities are built, you know, the way they are, with roads, buildings, all that stuff, absorbs all the heat. Not only does a city get much hotter, it takes 2 or 3 times as long to cool down. Public transport literally melts. We've seen train tracks warp.
Yes.
Just on a 40 degree day. So add 10 degrees and
You're a public transport user. Aircon in the train's pretty good, but trains, you've been on buses as well.
Yeah.
Buses not so good in the summer.
Abysmal. I don't know what the difference is, but they can't keep a bus cooled the same way they seem to be able to keep a train.
Guess it's the doors are opening. Yeah. People have a choice to keep the windows. Do they have windows?
On a train?
No, on a bus. Can you open the window still? Or is it all sealed?
I think it's all sealed. So. I think we're thinking of the 1980s.
I think humankind adapts to all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought you would see shade sales all across schools? In the 80s, there was not such a thing.
Yeah.
Now there are shade. Now there'll just be shade everywhere for kids if 50 degrees is an issue.
Yeah.
I do worry about public transport in Adelaide being able to handle that sort of temperature.
Yeah, it won't.
It won't.
Unless maybe we need a canal system. let's tear up all the roads, replace them with rivers, a network of canals, and we can all take gondolas everywhere. That would be quite nice on a hot day, just get out on the gondola and maybe, you know, hang your feet over the edge and, you know, splash your... what's the name of a guy? Is it a pilot who drives a gondola? A driver?
Yes.
The gondola driver? Just, you know, just frolic with him. Anyway, maybe not...
You can imagine the conversation, though. I said to Mavis, I was at Float 43 and I missed the gondola. I was running after it.
We can dream, but I like what you're saying about, you know, the ability of human ingenuity to adapt to whatever our situation is. I had a quick look because I was interested by this. You know, end of the century, that's not quite 100 years away, but close to it. Go back 100 years. It was only 1902 that the air conditioner was invented. So, you know, what an absolute milestone moment that was. what other inventions are going to happen in the next 80 years that we can't imagine at the moment that are going to, you know, well, then someone might invent something that all of a sudden a 50 degree day, hey, no biggie. You know, I'm wearing my insulated ice suit.
Yeah, something. We might all be wearing ice vests like the AFL players during the preseason.
Or we'll all be living in a virtual reality system where the physical temperature is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lots of possibilities.
To be fair, I've got older, I've got weaker. But
it's not true.
But in summer, I find less and less that I'm going out in the middle of the day. I'm going from one air-conditioned building into my car, which I put the air conditioning on, and then I go to another air conditioning building. And if I want to go to the beach or if I want to head down to the park or something, I will wait until the sun's down at least. So I don't mind the warmth. It's the sun that really gets me. So
100%.
We all adapt to our conditions. But yeah, that's some scary stats. Scary stats indeed.
So I guess what we're saying is be afraid. Panic.
Yes.
It's time. You know, it probably is time to get serious, though, about maybe climate change and what we're doing. And I don't know.
What are you doing? What are you doing to help the cause?
To be continued. Should be fun, newsman. We're about to do a group IQ test.
Oh, I always get nervous when you bring up IQ because I'm thinking mine's pretty low.
Yep, well, me too. We're gonna test yours. We're going to test mine. We're going to test anyone who's listening.
Okay.
And we're going to do it with jokes.
Ooh.
Some info, a story, an internet story that's caught my eye. The jokes that only smart people will get.
Well, what if I just laugh politely? Will you know otherwise? If
I've got the list here. You haven't seen them. I haven't seen them.
Okay.
I'm going to say one to you. You're going to explain it to me. And then you're going to hit me with the next one. I've got the sheet here. We'll just pass it back. Tick them off. Let's see how smart we are. And if you're listening along, if you get these, you're very smart. Or, I don't know, might actually be more a rating of pretentiousness.
Little asterisk here, web guy. Anyone who knows me will listen and go, well, that's not a surprise.
But it will be fun. Proving, I guess.
Okay.
And don't read ahead when I hand these to you. Here we go. Oh, God. I really don't know how this is going to work because I think they are not going to be funny at all. All right. Do you get this? A photon is going through airport security. Security agent asks if he has any luggage. The photon says, no, I'm travelling light.
I could only guess that that's got something to do with... I thought it was going to be something about charge. Am I charged? But I think I'm on the wrong...
I don't know. A photon is like a particle or something.
Yeah, right, okay.
Hit me.
I don't even know what that word is. Is that a good start?
A logician?
A logician's wife is having a baby. The doctor immediately hands the newborn to the dad. The wife says, is it a boy or a girl? The logician says, yes.
That's a pass for me. I don't get what that's about. I'm going to blame your delivery.
Oh, yeah, probably. I would say, mate, what is a logician?
I'm thinking it's something to do with logic.
Logic. Right? So is it a boy or a girl? Of course it's boy or a girl. It's one or the other, but
yes. They're
just being logical.
Yes, very logical. Okay, nice. I didn't get that.
No.
How can you tell the difference between a chemist and a plumber? Ask them to pronounce unionized. What the hell are these?
So, I guess plumber, they're talking about... Nah, I've got no idea. Okay, here's one web guy. Heisenberg was speeding down the highway. A cop pulls him over and says, do you have any idea how fast you were going back there? Heisenberg says, no, but I knew where I was. Do you know who Heisenberg is?
Just a science guy.
Right.
That one's lost on me.
He's obviously got a theory about something.
Yeah. Haven't had one yet that's cracked us up yet, have we?
No.
Okay. C... E flat and G walk into a bar. The bartender says, sorry, no minors.
Okay, yeah, I think I get that.
Okay.
Musical notes.
Are they all in the minor?
They must be a minor chord or something.
Yeah. Oh, what
doesn't
a,
make it good.
What a cracker.
Doesn't make it good. First law of thermodynamics, you can't win. Second law of thermodynamics, you can't break even. Third law of thermodynamics, you can't stop playing.
All right. I'll take their word for it that that's funny. I've got no explanation. Oh, jeez. These are terrible, aren't they? Okay. Let's skip down here. How many surrealists does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
A fish.
So that's sort of conceptual... I don't know.
Yeah, and just bizarre and nonsensical.
Tim, knock knock.
Who is there, newsman?
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Knock knock.
Okay. What's going on?
Last one.
Who's there?
Philip Glass. I got no idea.
Okay. Yeah, he's a weird music guy, I guess. Is it solipsistic in here, or is it just me? Solipsistic. Don't know how to pronounce it, but it's sort of like when you just obsess with yourself, when you think the world revolves around you.
That's good. Well, you got it.
Yeah, but I couldn't pronounce it.
You got it. A Roman walks into a bar and asks for a Martinus. You mean martini? The bartender asks. The Roman replies, slow down there. I'll let you know when I want more.
Do you need to know Latin?
Yeah, maybe. Last one.
Thank God this is the last one. What does a dyslexic, agnostic, insomniac do at night? He stays up wondering if there really is a dog.
I like that.
Yeah.
That one's good.
Yeah, that is good.
That's put there just to keep us feeling like not dunces.
Make us feel good.
Well, you knew a couple of them.
Oh, I did. Few. Did not.
It feels like they are jokes that come from Big Bang Theory TV scripts, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Anyway, bottom line is, you're smart if you get them.
Yes.
We didn't get them. Ergo, we are not smart.
Cue the crickets.